Bible reading this morning is in the book of Acts chapter 2, and we'll be reading from verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. This is the word of the Lord.
Am I able to use this one, please, Jing? Thank you.
I'm going to pray with you together and we'll have a look at this word. Yeah, Father, what a joy it is to pray with these precious sisters and brothers. Together you've opened, together we can come to the way that you've opened for us in Christ, in prayer. And so we do pray, dear Lord, would you shine light on our hearts and minds this morning that we might have joy and increasingly we would know the joy it is to be yours and to live in you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Each week we've been considering the whole subject of the community of love, that we've been called as part of God's family to be a community of love. And, you know, it's a community that all of us have already been included in as believers in Christ. Today's our last message, and today we get to see an actual example from the Scriptures of a community of love, a community that God created. And it's beautifully described here in the passage that Lois read for us from Acts chapter 2. And in lots of ways it brings all our seven messages of the community of love together. You know, the Lord has done something holy in us as a church. He's done something holy in every church. He's worked generosity in us. He's worked love in us. He's worked joy in us. He's worked salvation in us, and we would love that to be happening more and more. Before Jesus died and rose again, he was with his disciples, and he actually said to them, wait in the city for the promise of the Father. Because in a few days' time, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And when the day of Pentecost came, we read about it in Acts chapter 2, they heard the sound of a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the house where they were staying. And they also saw what seemed like tongues of fire that separated and came and rested on each one of them. They were filled with the Spirit. They began to speak in other tongues that they hadn't learned. And there was a crowd there. There was people from all parts of the nation there. And they're all in Jerusalem. And they came running. And they heard these Galileans Galilee was just a tin pot town. They just had a funny accent. But they were astonished because all these Galileans were speaking in a language that they hadn't learned, and it was a language that was represented by all these different parts of the nation. And some people said they're drunk, and they made fun of them. They were declaring the mighty works of God. Peter jumps up, And Peter says, they're not drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. This is, in fact, what the prophet Joel had spoken about centuries ago. Everyone is going to receive the gift of the Spirit. And Peter says, do you remember Jesus? Do you remember this Jesus who had worked miracles amongst you? You saw him with your own eyes. And God put him into your hands and you handed him over to be crucified. But God's raised him to from the dead, exalted him at the right hand of the Father on high. And now he's received the Spirit which he has poured out, which you now see and hear. And all this wondering multitude, it says that they were cut to the heart. I love that phrase, because they were just deeply, deeply, it's like a sword hits their heart. They were cut to the heart and they said, what are we going to do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. This gift is for you and for your children, from everyone far off, and all that the Lord will call. And it says that 3,000 were added that day. So if there was 120 there gathered, there was now 3,120 believers in Christ. I wonder what it was like to be part of that community of believers in those early days. This community of believers that were the recipients of all that God had promised for centuries. The fulfillment of everything God that had been saying is going to happen for many, many centuries is now unfolding before their eyes, and now they've been filled with the very Spirit of God in their hearts and lives. What would it be like to be part of such a community? Well, we get a window into this little community of what this was like. And we've read it there in Acts chapter 2. You know, these believers who loved Jesus and were filled so beautifully with the Holy Spirit were very devoted people. It says that they devoted themselves. It says that four things stand out. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. The apostles' teaching. You know, these 11 disciples, because one's gone, but they added another one to them and made it 12. These 12 apostles had been with Jesus, had witnessed his life, his death, his rising, and they knew so much that the Lord had taught them. And now these believers, this new church, they were hungry, just really hungry, just like you get hungry for food. These new disciples were hungry for the apostles' teaching. They were just saying, what is God doing in the world? What is he unfolding? What is he accomplishing in all the plan of salvation? And they were hungry. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching because they couldn't just pick up a Bible like we can, and they didn't have the New Testament at all. But they needed the apostles to feed them, feed them deeply. So that their minds were grasping, oh, this is who God is. This is what he's doing. This is what he's calling us to be a part of. And so for us too, we devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching because week after week in our connect groups on Sundays and probably at home where you are, you're opening up the Bible and you're beginning to, and trying to, like me, just trying to understand, what is the Lord saying? A devotion, a hunger for the apostles' teaching. But there was a second thing that they were devoted to. And they said, it says here that they were devoted to the fellowship. There is a famous, many of you know this word, a famous Greek word, and it's koinonia. We is often translated in our English Bibles, fellowship. It's a famous word because it's so precious. It means something like sharing. Sharing. You know, if I'm here all by myself and I have a wall up and I'm just isolated. But let's say I take Lloyd here and I share something with him, then all of a sudden we are We are connected. We're sharing. This word, koinonia, means that there was a deep community of love, a deep sharing of one another's lives with each other. Because left to our own humanness, we do tend to isolate a bit, lock ourselves in our bedroom, and we're on Instagram, and, you know, that's kind of a twisted form of humanity, that we can just be not together, but isolated. And I remember there was a guy called George MacDonald, lived years ago, and he said, I am my own is the one principle of hell. The one principle of hell is I just belong to myself. I am my own. I don't touch me. I don't have any responsibilities to anyone. I am my own. But God is reversing that and saying, no, we belong to one another. It's fellowship. Do you remember Adam and Eve? Adam and Eve, they sinned against God, and they started blaming each other, and the togetherness started to be unraveled. And the very first human being that was ever born, namely Cain ended up killing his brother Abel. I mean, that's the kind of degree of brokenness and separation there is that entered the human race. And here now, God in Christ is reversing that and bringing us all together and saying, no, you're sharing. There's a sort of sense of responsibility. You remember Cain said to God, am I my brother's keeper? Am I my brother's? I wouldn't know where he is. Am I my brother's keeper? And God here, through the work of Christ, is saying there is a shared responsibility that we have now that we're part of God's family. A deep friendship, a deep connection, a deep love. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, and to the breaking of bread, shared meals. It's like this shared meals were an expression of their togetherness. They had lunch together, had dinner together. And maybe this is connected also to the Lord's Supper that we have, the breaking of bread. And fourthly, they were devoted to prayers, another part of their community. They would come together and pray and cry out to God together, and expect that he is going to answer in love and in power. Together they would raise their voices and say, Lord, we're crying out to you. And there's this unity and strength and togetherness that they had. And so these four devotions that this early church had are like life priorities. It's like these are our life priorities. We devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship. Do you know, that fellowship is, I think you all feel this, don't we, as a church? If there's someone that new that comes and they walk out without anyone speaking to them, doesn't it? It breaks our heart. We don't want that, because we want to be those that are woven in. And these meals, there's many of you that have people for meals in your home, or you have a coffee with someone. And it's part of what these early believers, and this preciousness of prayer. So God is creating a new community, ruled over by a great, great king, Christ. And because of our love for Christ, and because if he washes us clean, all the barriers come down. If I'm all dirty on the inside, I'm too ashamed to let you into my heart, and I can't let you get too close to me. But if Christ comes and washes us all, then all the barriers can come down. And instead of there being divisions, we just say, oh, I'm just going to stick to my own tribe, my own age group, my own ethnicity, my own political, the people with the same political, and I stick with my... No. Jesus brings down all the barriers and says, there's fellowship. There's oneness between us. I think there is actually an ache in every human heart to be able to be part of a community where I belong, where I'm part of something bigger than myself, where I've got others are taking responsibility for me, and this is a place where I'm loved. All of us long for that. Do you know there's some characteristics of this community that I noticed? One is, in verse 43, it says that everyone was filled with awe. In the ESV it says, an awe came upon every soul. Awe. Everyone was filled with awe. I wonder if you've ever been filled with awe. This holy, wonderful, delightful fear of God, where He is just magnificent. It's like, oh, I've realized who He is. It's like an encounter with truth. All of a sudden, you realize the greatness of who He is, and you're filled with awe. I've got a feeling that our society would prefer it to say something else. I think our society might prefer that it says, and everyone was filled with laughter. I think that's what we'd prefer, because we think that laughter is the highest expression of delight. But that's a very earthly... This is another level. This is a higher delight, a trembling before and a wonder at the greatness of God. And it's something different. I mean, I love to laugh. You'll hear my laugh across the room. Sometimes I'm embarrassed that I laugh so loud. I love to laugh. But you see, this is not... Laughter is not the highest joy. This is something beyond. It's something glorious. And every soul was filled with awe. A glorious trembling. Do you know, I long for this for my own soul. And some of the most deepest experiences of God that I've had, and probably this is true for you too, is when you're in awe of His greatness. And it means that you just don't have a jokey, giggling faith. It means that you don't just have an intellectual faith. It means that you don't just have a ritualistic faith, or not even just a social faith. But now this is a sense of God in His splendor and His greatness. Yes, there's awe, but there's something else I notice here in this community, and that is, in verse 44, it says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Property and possessions. Now, that's getting a little bit too close. I think property and possessions. You know, it's one thing for me to come to church and to sing some songs and maybe to make a generous donation in the bags that it goes around or something. But this seems to be something beyond that. And before I tell you this, I have to say that I've actually in my life, and I feel like crying when I tell you this, but I won't, but I've actually been the recipient when I've been in need and sometimes in deep financial need, and I have, from the Christian family, been a recipient of love practical love. And I know, I've seen it happen here. And so I'm very, very thankful as people here that have been remarkably generous and beautiful. And here, these believers were together and they had, they sold properties and possessions to give so that no one, you know, it's quite common that a mum and dad would buy their kid, their daughter or their son a car. That's no big deal. Or maybe even they might buy them a house. And even no one raises an eyebrow. But here it seems that people are selling property and possessions so that others that are in the family of faith would not be in need. It's touched every area of their life so that there's no area of their life that the Lordship of Christ does not rule and bring transformation and encouragement and great blessing. And also I notice here that these people met together in big groups and small groups. It says here, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. So that they were big groups, like we're a big group now. We meet together in a big group. But they also met together in their homes, in small groups. And so we try and emulate that here as well. We love to gather in a big group, but often during the week we have these connect groups. And it says that it was every day they continued. There was a regular devotion every day. You know, sometimes I say to young people, have you got a desire to make an impact for the kingdom? I say, I can tell you one piece of advice. Often old people don't need to hear this, but young people. I said, one piece of advice. Be consistent. Don't just flip in now and then flip out and then just disappear and then you turn up when you feel like it and I was too tired or I was this or that. And so, no, this is like a, you know that phrase, you get an invitation and they say, oh, you're subject to a better offer. I will turn up. Well, this is not that. This is like regular and there's just this devotion and they're giving themselves to this community and they couldn't get enough of each other. Not only do we get an idea of what happens with their possessions, not only do we get an idea about their gatherings, but we actually get a glimpse into their hearts. Because it says here, they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God. Wow. So in their hearts, there was gladness and sincerity and there was praise. There was not... do you know how easy it is for our human hearts to be filled with grumpiness or fear or lust or revenge or jealousy or whatever else? But this was something else. God had done a beautiful, shining work in their hearts. They had glad and sincere hearts and they were praising God. There was joy had come to shine and to live and just to dwell in their hearts. They were marked by joy. That was who they were. A people, because their Savior was so great and glorious, the Spirit had come and filled them and had made the Savior real, and they were marked by joy. And lastly, we read that the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Did you know it was the Lord who was the mathematician? He was doing the adding. It says the Lord added to their number. There's some baptisms coming up and I just aware that it's actually the Lord that brings someone to faith. It's a miracle when someone's heart changes and they say, I want to follow Christ. It is just a miracle that God can change someone in a way that they say, actually, the old is gone and the new has come. And so here is that hugely powerful, the Lord is adding to their number day by day, those who are being saved, who are taken out of darkness and bringing it brought into the kingdom of light. The Lord was adding to their number. And it was in the context of this beautiful community that he was doing that. But the Lord himself was doing it. I said earlier that this passage gives us a window into this community of love, of the early Christian community. And that is true. But it's not just a window, because we've got more. Because we ourselves have received Christ as our Lord, and we have ourselves received the gift of the Spirit in our hearts. It's more than just a window, but we've actually got a power dwelling in us. We've got the truth that's come to our lives. We've got the power of Christ that is indwelt us. And so now we've got all that we need from our Lord and Saviour to be more and more this community of love. We have the Lord that teaches us, that loves us. He's pulling down the walls between us. He's opening our hearts to be generous to one another. He's opening our wallets to care for one another. And he has bound us in his love with a remarkable love that could only ever come from heaven. As part of this series, as we come now to the end of the series, I'm just going to ask you if you wouldn't mind filling out a response form. And so I'm going to ask those that have got those forms just to hand them around now. And this is what I'd like you to do with the response form. Number one, you don't have to fill it out if you don't want to, so no pressure. But if you would like to fill it out, that would be an encouragement for us. And it would help us to be increasingly a community of love that Christ would love us to be. And so if you wouldn't mind filling those out before the service has ended, and you don't have to do it right now, and there's the famous green box out in the foyer on a table there, and if you just pop it in that box, then that would be a wonderful thing. So we're going to sing again, but before and as the band comes, or Sheldon and Matilda come, let me pray. Yeah, Lord, thank you that we have a God as great as you. Thank you for your love that is shed abroad in our hearts and that we experience from each other. Lord, I do ask that by your power and in your goodness and grace that increasingly we would be a community of love, so that when just like a light bulb comes on and shines, so that we would shine in beautiful ways to our city, that others would know you and that we would have joy. Lord, we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.